Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Drive is live.
That's right. The Drive is live. And fellas, it's a big day. We'll hear from Cecil Shorts at the bottom of this hour. I'm really concerned about Cecil. Cecil was he was in a rough place last week. And I don't think it's going to get any better after that performance.
After texting with him last night, I am with you.
He said his boat of belief is getting smaller last week. He may not be in it anymore. And then we'll hear from D'Amico Ryans as he will speak to the media, not us, but he'll speak to the media. We'll hear from him coming up.
What time does that go down?
Anywhere between 2:30 and 3. Right?
Stay plugged in. Hour 1, baby.
So you got to drive.
Got to hang in there. And and also C.J. Stroud. We'll hear from him as this is the day we hear from those two. And really, Clint, the D'Amico one's a big one because this will be the first time that we really hear from any of the brass since the C.J. Gardner-Johnson shocking release happened. So this will be the first time we hear from them. And based off the reports that we heard from sources in the Texans to DJ Bieniemy and Aaron Wilson and other reporters, be really interesting to hear how D'Amico handles that. And I'm sure CJ will get asked about that too.
Be interesting to see how both of them handle it. No question about it. I do think this is a little different one. As you mentioned yesterday, and we talked about at length the last hour of the show, was the reports that seemed to be coming from a credible source inside the building over there about the C.J. Gardner-Johnson miscues on the defensive side of the football that ultimately got him ran up out of here. And look, there's some validity to those. I've had time to go back and look at every one of them. I don't know what they're taught. I don't know what the coverages were or were not supposed to be. But you can look at what's being said, and that definitely is an option in each one of those plays to where C.J. Gardner-Johnson could have been targeted, or at least the reason why the Texans were hit with three different touchdowns. And so it will be interesting to see what D'Amico has to say. Again, I don't know that just sticking your head in the sand is going to be the route they're going to take on this one. I know that typically is, but this is the caliber player where all the problems that we're hearing he had, he still started and played 93% of the snaps last week. And so I'm anxious to hear what D'Amico has to say about, as well as CJ. I'm anxious to hear what CJ has to say as well.
Yeah, definitely. How do you think they're going to handle it? Do they go head in the sand?
I think they go head in the sand.
I think they go vague.
I think they go head in the sand. I think they go fit. Know. I think fit what just wasn't a real good fit, and we had to go separate ways, and we wish him the best. I think that's how we go here.
Yeah, that's what I expected to hear. Until we saw those nuggets drop yesterday. But you'll get to hear from them coming up. By the way, Reggie talked about it a bit there, Clint, from a practice perspective and addition perspective to the roster with the release of C.J. Gardner-Johnson. They bring in Zion Childress off the Cowboys practice squad. He had been called up twice in games this year with the Cowboys. He's already out there working at nickel. I've seen a video of him working with Jalen Petrie in that position of nickel. So he potentially will be an option that they can go with on this team. Don't know a lot about him. I know he is a local product from New Caney, but he'll be on the roster since they signed him from the practice squad. He is on the roster.
Got to be on the roster.
And potentially you would think when you look at the numbers, he may play coming up on Sunday when you look at the numbers.
Yeah, I mean, look, they got to at least have emergency corner. I mean, Tremont Smith and Kamari Lassiter can't do it all for four quarters, not play every snap, and so he's going to get some run somewhere. And whether it's nickel or outside corner, I would imagine if he's working at nickel, being a new player, that's where they're going to depend on him. I do wonder who that outside corner is going to be. We'll find out come game time when they decide who's active and who's not. They do have a couple of options there, but we'll see.
And that becomes even bigger because Derek Stingley with the oblique, he attempted to come back into the game on Sunday, but he missed basically the second half and a little bit of that second quarter. He did not practice today. In terms of the time when the media was there to see. And neither did Titus Howard, their best offensive lineman. He did not practice. When the injury report comes out today, and probably we'll hear that hopefully from D'Amico too as well, but when that comes out, we'll get a more understanding of the issue with Titus Howard and why he didn't practice today. But those are obviously two major pieces that the Texans really need to have in this game coming up on Sunday and the rest of the way, two of their better players not practicing today. So that's one to keep an eye on. So a lot to get to with the Texans. Is it over, fellas, with the Astros?
Damn close.
Is it over? They lost 5-1 last night, and then Cleveland beat Detroit. So now Cleveland, they're actually one up in the AL Central, and now the Astros are chasing the Tigers in the wild card. They are one up on the Astros, but they did, and we had some conflictions yesterday, but we have an understanding. They did win the season series over the Astros. In fact, the Red Sox, who are in front of them in the wild card, the Guardians, and the Tigers, Yankees have already clinched their wild card spot. They all have tiebreakers over the Astros. So they lose last night 5-1. They managed three singles last night, dealing with another major injury. Jeremy Pena has missed again. We'll see if he's able to go. He has an oblique issue as well. But, hey, man, it feels like they got to go 5-0 in this piece. And
they need to go 5-0, boys. And I'm going to be honest with you. I quit on them last night.
It's over for you?
Well, it was over last night.
That was it. That
I mean,
was it.
I'm not saying I can't get back on. I'm fair weather. I can get back on the bandwagon. But I'll be honest with you. I don't know if y'all were watching that, how that they scored their first run. It was some real, and I know Oakland's not playing in Oakland, but it was some real Oakland A-type stuff. I mean, it was some real, I know the commentators, they tried, oh, man, you're playing in this minor league park, and the ball gets above the lights, and you lose it, and Christian Javier shouldn't even be in the mix, and Christian Walker, but he must have lost it in the lights. And, man, get the hell out of here.
Say goodnight to the Astros.
I mean, you got two outs, base runners rounding the damn bags, and you don't field a pop-up that was up, like three dudes was camped out underneath it damn near. And that's how you give, I quit right there. I turned that son of a buck
right
there.
It does.
I went to my DVR immediately.
What'd you turn?
Stupid, man. Interrogation.
Okay. Oh, is that good?
Yeah, pretty good. If you get a good case, it requires a good case. You get one of some old, I think one of them last night was in Little Rock, and it was some old backwards folks, and it was hard to pay much mind to. But it's better than watching that game.
He went over. Yeah, it was late. Nah, they look like they're let go of the rope. It does. And pals, the injuries have caught up to them. Yeah, the Pena one, that's another terrible timed injury. Listen, it feels like it's over. They obviously got to win tonight. Like tonight is Hunter Brown, right? That they got to win the Hunter Brown starts. Right? They got to win this one and give themselves a chance. Now, for them, I feel like the Tigers are the team they got to hope to get. And they play the Guardians. The Tigers have lost 7 in a row. The Guardians have won 10 in a row. And then they play the Red Sox after that. So, you know, maybe if you win your 5, right, it feels like you got to win 5. You win your 5. By the way, the Mariners, they clinched a playoff spot. They're, I think, one more win away before they clinch the West. You, but you got to win all 5 of yours and then hope hope the Tigers, because remember, anybody you cannot finish tied with or you lose.
Well, the saving grace that we have as I look at the standings is the fact that you just mentioned it. Detroit is playing Cleveland, then Detroit turns around and plays Boston, and those are all three of the teams that are ahead of you. So somebody's got to lose. They can't win them all. Somebody's got to lose. So I don't know if it's 100% sure, but to a certain extent, you got to be able to control your own destiny if you win out. I mean, because somebody has to lose those games. And so that's the only saving grace right now, because it ain't the way these Astros are playing.
Next line coming in. I did the same thing, Clint. As soon as that pop-up hit the ground, I picked up the remote and changed the channel.
Immediately. I already had it in my hand. Golly, man. Sit my ass up that late at night to watch him Stros, and they do that in the first inning. Yeah, I've looked up, and Javier had 23. He was 23 pitches in the first damn inning. I said, come on, man.
It's the A's, man.
Yeah. It's the A's, man. I feel like they're ready to shut this thing down. Got five to go, boy.
It looks like the Astros are ready to shut this thing down.
Man, and these things are getting, it's 5-1, 7-1, 6-0. I mean, they are getting where it's just not even games left. All right, D'Amico Ryans, who you'll hear from a little bit later on, he did his coach's show earlier this week and talked about validating what's being coached. Talked about the things that they're talking about that the players, which sounds like they need to do more of on the field on Sundays.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I do not, because I know the process.
Right.
I know what we're teaching. I know what works. It hasn't it hasn't changed.
Right.
It's just a matter of everybody just making sure we're doing first and foremost what we're coached to do.
Right.
Right. If we start there, let's do what we're coached to do. Know what we're coaching. We know our process and how we structure the week, how we practice. I know it works.
Yep.
Now, when it gets to game day, are we executing and doing the things that we need to do that's winning football? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. And if you play winning football on Sunday, that's what it's going to take. You got to play winning football on Sunday.
All right. We've heard that a lot. If we coach do things the way we're coached. I've heard that a lot. The penalties is coming from techniques and things like that. I know you feel like maybe there should be an adjustment with those thoughts and those comments.
Yeah, look, I think this is the one thing that D'Amico Ryans, Nick Caserio, Nick Cayley, everybody, they got to stop with this stuff. They got to stop with this. Our process works, process this, process that.
And they now, say no.
I can hear that from D'Amico Ryans if he's talking about the defensive side of the football. Clearly, your process on the offensive side of the football is not working. Clearly, the process was flawed last year to the point of where you slid one of your good buddies up out of here that had helped you win 10 games and get to the second round of the playoffs 2 years in a row. Clearly, that process is not working. I cringe when Nick Cayley gets up there and talks about, I know my process. I know our process. All we got to do is keep doing what. No, this thing is significantly better than just a process. I understand. I really could lean into the process stuff when you were rebuilding a team, when you were figuring out how to construct the roster, and you didn't have all the final pieces, and there was a process there. You're cleaning up all the cancers out of the organization. You're getting the right guys. You're setting the right standards. I get all that. All that stuff is set. This is not about processes anymore.